Back it is, the Buckmaster Show. Joining me in studio, Attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor and author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books are in their second printing. Don, it's good to see you.
Well, it's good to see you, Bill.
And congratulations. I saw some pictures on Facebook of the new office up in Phoenix. You already have a really nice office here in Tucson, but now you've got some new quarters up there.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
And where are you in Phoenix now?
We're at 48th Street in Cactus, which is actually a Scottsdale address, but it's close to Paradise Valley Mall. Love the new place.
Wow.
Love the new digs.
Very nice. All right. So it's looking more and more there will be very few choices for voters when it comes to initiatives.
Well, we know about one that got removed from the ballot, and I think three or four others are being challenged in court currently, but the Invest in Education Act is the one that got dinged.
And that one, they put so much work into that. David Lujan, who was spearheading that drive, we had him on one of our Friday roundtables a couple of months ago, and they had been out working and gathering signatures. I think they needed a couple hundred thousand signatures, and they went way over that.
They actually got 400,000 signatures.
Whoa.
So the problem with the initiative was, for lack of a better way of expressing it, it was technical. The law requires that if you put an initiative on the ballot, you have to explain the, quote, principal provisions of the initiative in a 100-word summary, which is, in my opinion, very hard to do, especially when the initiatives run 5, 6, 7, 10 pages to summarize every principal provision in 100 words or less.
It's almost impossible.
In some cases, it is impossible. The Invest in Education Act would have generated close to $1 billion a year to fund the state's school systems. By imposing a tax on upper-income individuals and couples. And 400,000 voters who signed the petitions wanted to see that on the ballot, but the Superior Court judge who heard the case said that the 100-word summary didn't adequately describe the principal provisions, and therefore, as a matter of law, the initiative could not appear on the ballot. The proponents of the initiative said, hey, look, you know, we did the best that we could given all of the various provisions contained in the initiative. And the judge said, well, that's not, you know, that wasn't good enough. And the judge went on to cite, you know, some of the more significant omissions, starting with the initiative apparently didn't clearly state how the money would have been distributed. The judge found that problematic. He also found that the voters weren't told that business income that is counted as individual income on tax returns will be affected by the new tax. And the initiative didn't clearly spell out the impact on marginal tax rates, or that it blocked the legislature from cutting other school funding to offset the new tax and overruled a limit on local revenues. So,
wow.
A lot of...
you're going to have to come up with simpler initiatives, I guess, that can be described in 100 words.
Well, if you think of... Yes, if you think about it, there are hundreds of words on a single page of a typed document.
Yes.
If you have, let's say, 10 pages,
mm-hmm.
And you have to describe everything on all principal provisions on those 10 pages in 100 words or less, I wish you the best of luck. That is very, very difficult to do. And if you omit something or misstate something or mislead on what the provisions mean, then there is a chance that your initiative will not find its way to the ballot.
Let's go to Eric. He has a question or a comment about this initiative. Go ahead, Eric. You're with Attorney Don Luce.
Hi, Eric.
Hi, good afternoon. Yeah, so I think the lesson here for people who want to draft laws is stop making them so complicated and so lengthy that you can't describe it, because those, if you can't describe it in 100 words, you're just asking for 2 minutes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Eric,
you know, it's sort of like the Obamacare, the 2,700-page right. document. People don't read it. And so I think the reason, the policy behind the law that says you have to describe it is that you don't put too much in there, ask for too much, so that people, when they're voting, have an informed decision. You can't have an informed decision if you can't describe it in 100 words, because you've made it too long.
Good point, I think, Eric.
I agree. In fact, there's another contest involving a separate ballot initiative having to do with sentencing reform that is 10 pages. The initiative itself is 10 pages, single-spaced.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the arguments in that case, just like the one in the Invest in Arizona Act, Invest in Education Act, is that the 100-word summary does not adequately describe the principal provisions of the sentencing reform initiative. And again, if you have a 10-page initiative, single-spaced, good luck in summarizing the principal provisions in 100 words or less, because I would challenge anyone to describe everything succinctly and not omit anything.
Don, what is then the status of that measure with the sentencing reform?
Okay, so
where does it stand right now?
Right, it's before the Maricopa County Superior Court. The judge held a hearing, heard arguments by the opponents and by the proponents. He said that he hopes to have a ruling out relatively soon, and the thing about these challenges to the initiatives is whichever side loses has a direct appeal to the Arizona Supreme Court. There is no intermediate step. In other words, typically you would try the case in the Superior Court. The loser would have the right to appeal it to the Arizona Court of Appeals. And then the loser there would have the right to ask the Supreme Court to review the Court of Appeals decision. This is different. It goes to the Maricopa County Superior Court. The loser has the right to appeal directly to the Arizona Supreme Court. But given that these initiatives relate to the November ballot, which is literally just around the corner, these things have to be decided quickly, and then the review at the Arizona Supreme Court needs to be prompt as well. Otherwise, they won't have a chance to get on the ballot because they won't have a chance to be printed by the Secretary of State's office.
Barbara Lawal, Pima County attorney, is one of the challengers, or there's an attorney representing Ms. Lawal in this case, one of the and other challengers.
Yeah, and so what, you know, the strategy of the challengers in the sentencing reform initiative is very similar to the strategy that was successfully used by the challengers to the Invest in Education Act, and that is they're saying two things, that the principal provisions haven't been described sufficiently in the 100-word summary, okay? And then they're also challenging the omissions that don't appear at all in the summary, and saying that without including those provisions, you haven't adequately disclosed all of the principal provisions of the initiative. So the sentencing reform initiative, which, you know, as you pointed out, is opposed by our own county attorney, would give judges more discretion in sentencing people for non-dangerous offenses, and it would also allow inmates convicted of non-dangerous offenses to be released earlier than is now permitted. So the Pima County attorney, through her lawyer, is saying that's something that needs to be better described in the 100-word summary, and it isn't. The people who are advancing the initiative say, look, no matter what we would say in the 100-word summary, it would be insufficient for, right, you know, to satisfy the opponents of this initiative. And what's happening is, if you prevent us from putting this on the ballot, then you're placing a significant burden on the right to petition. You know, mm-hmm. as Arizona citizens, we have the right to petition. And if we collect, if you and I put together an initiative, the Don and Bill Initiative, mm-hmm. and we collect 400,000 valid signatures, mm-hmm. it's going to be on the ballot, you know, mm-hmm. assuming that we describe the initiative sufficiently in our 100-word summary. But what the proponents of this initiative are saying is, if you don't allow us to put it on the ballot, then you're putting a significant burden on the people's right to petition. I think there's a real conflict going on here because, as you know, during each election, there are between 10 and 12 initiatives on the ballot. Mm-hmm. And if the proponents of these initiatives are running into these kinds of problems, it's very possible that it's going to be much more difficult to get an initiative on the ballot, as we've seen typically in the past several elections.
How about marijuana? Is that going to be on the ballot, recreational marijuana?
It may be. That's one of the initiatives that is also being challenged. So in court currently, the initiative legalizing marijuana
right.
is being challenged.
Right.
The initiative forbidding surprise medical billings is being challenged.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as we just talked about, the initiative overhauling the state's criminal sentencing rules is being challenged. So one has been struck down,
mm-hmm.
and three are currently being challenged and may or may not be stricken after the hearings conclude.
There may be three or there may be none.
we'll
see.
We don't know.
All right, Don Luce, always a pleasure. Don's books, very popular, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books are in their second printing. And the way we go in Arizona, Don, every couple of years, you have to take another look at Arizona Laws
well, you
101.
Do. And it's not just because of what the legislature does, but it's also because of what the courts do, because mm-hmm. the courts make laws as well. And I think people tend to forget about that and focus more on the legislature, but our laws are made by both bodies and they're constantly changing.
All right, Don Luce of the Luce Law Group, offices here in Tucson and Phoenix. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show.